Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Hey, Negotiations Ninja listeners, welcome to this amazing throwback episode with Ed Brodau. We talk all about Ed's experience over his entire 32-year career, the reason optimism in negotiation has got to be at the forefront of every negotiation, learning how to use the Colombo method in negotiations, and the traits of successful negotiators. Really amazing conversation with Ed. As always, enjoy. Ed, how are you?
I'm just terrific. How are you?
I am splendid, my friend. I am very, very well. It's been a wonderful day speaking to fantastic people from all over the world. And now I get the opportunity to speak to you, which is a huge treat. So thank you so much for being on.
My pleasure.
Wonderful. Before we get into our conversation today, I wonder if you could just give the listeners a bit of background as to who you are and what you do.
I am a negotiation expert, professional speaker, and author of 7 books. I've been doing this for 32 years. My speaking clients include many of the Fortune 500. I have spoken all over the world, in most every continent. I have spoken to every type of audience imaginable over the last 32 years on the subject of negotiation. My background, I originally came out of the computer industry. I used to sell for IBM, Litton Industries. I was a sales manager. I learned how to negotiate deals. I learned how to close deals. And it became a very natural progression for me to kind of get into the speaking and writing field. That essentially is my background. Oh, I also have a background as a professional movie actor.
Oh.
Which people sometimes want to hear more about that than the negotiation. But I spent 12 years in New York and Hollywood acting in films and television and stage, which has, of course, been extremely helpful to me as a speaker.
And
it's cut through a lot of the learning process that I would have had to go through otherwise as a speaker. Things I had already learned as an actor, and all of it it's been a very interesting and logical progression in my life, going from selling in the corporate environment into Hollywood, into professional speaking and writing. And
fantastic.
Here I am on your podcast.
Well, I know.
So I've reached the top.
You've reached the pinnacle, my friend. Well done. Congratulations. The summit is here. Let's celebrate. Oh, I love it. Well, thanks so much for sharing that background, Ed. You know, I think the thing that I love most about what you do in your negotiation instruction is you're a big proponent of optimism and the role that optimism plays in negotiation. Why do you believe that optimism is so important to negotiation?
Why do I believe that optimism is important? Well, let me put it to you this way. You play a sport?
Yeah.
What do you play?
I used to play rugby.
Rugby, oh, tough sport. Well, when your team went up against another team, did you guys get together in a huddle and say, oh, God, we'll never win. They're much better than we are. They're going to beat the crap out of us. Did you do that?
Sometimes, honestly, yes.
Well, you know, it doesn't work out very well when you do that.
That's right.
Look, anytime you're in an adversarial situation, you have to think positively. It's all about thinking positively. And if you're not optimistic, and by the way, my definition of optimism is essentially how you feel about the future, is looking positive about the future. That's what optimism is. You know, some people go through their lives having a very negative view of the future.
Right.
And other people, like me, think that the future, you know, holds a lot of great things in store. We're optimistic. And I believe it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I believe that when you expect that things are going to turn out well, they will turn out well. Now, in negotiation, being optimistic is more important than anything else, any other area, because if you approach a negotiation, as in the case of the rugby game, and say, gee, you know, this person I'm negotiating with, they know so much more than I do, and I, you know, you're dead. You're dead. Now, let me explain a little further how I look at this. Every negotiation involves two negotiations that are going on simultaneously. Now, the obvious one is the one that you and I have. We have a negotiation. Where are we going to go for dinner tonight? So you want to go and have Italian food, and I want to have French food, so we're going to negotiate. That's the obvious, the external negotiation. But there is also a less obvious negotiation. Sometimes we don't even realize it's happening. Right. But it's the negotiation that you have with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Mark, you're saying to yourself, oh, you know, Ed's a professional negotiator. He wants to have French food. I better just give in. You lost the negotiation right there.
Right.
So a huge percentage of the outcome of any negotiation is going to depend on what goes on in that internal negotiation. And that's why you have to be an optimist. Even when things look awful, you have to find the positive. You have to look for, you know, what are my strengths in this situation? What are the limits to the other side's power? These are all questions that you have to ask so that you can wind up with an optimistic view of what's going to take place.
Do you think that there's a danger to being too optimistic, maybe to being over-optimistic?
Well, yeah, I suppose there is. That's an interesting question. I never really thought about that. Is there a danger to being, what did you say, over-optimistic?
Yeah.
There could be, I suppose, you know, if you're completely out of touch with reality. But, you know, except for that, I would say no. I would say that you are always well-advised to have an affirmative approach to the negotiation and expect to do well. People who expect to do well generally do well. People who don't expect to do well generally don't.
Yes, agreed. And it's not like you're saying we don't plan for a worst case situation. We would obviously do that, but we still go in and have that optimism about the best case situation.
Well, you're confusing two different things here. You know, your preparation is separate from this. Of course, you're going to prepare for, you know, a plan B or a, you know, worst case scenario. But that has nothing to do with your attitude, which is optimistic, confident, I'm going to do well.
Interesting. And how does that play into confidence in negotiation? How important is your confidence and your optimism together?
Well, they are essentially the same thing. You know, when I'm saying be optimistic, you have to be confident to be optimistic. And confidence, see, I've done a lot of research on this and a lot of thinking about it and observing people. And I wrote a book called Beating the Success Trap, where I examine, you know, what does it mean to really be successful? And my observation is that many people have what I call the victim mentality.
Mm. What is the victim mentality?
Victim mentality means that they feel that they have no power, that someone else has control over their life, and they had better, you know, they had better do what they're told.
Interesting.
That's a victim mentality. Now, as an antidote to that, I came up with what I call the confidence mystique.
Now,
the confidence
what is that?
Mystique. Well, I learned that in the Marine Corps. I was an officer in the Marine Corps, the U.S. Marine Corps. We developed what was known as command presence. so that you wanted, as an officer, you had to carry yourself in such a way that the people that were under you would want to follow you, that they would have confidence in you.
Right.
You know, you had to show them that you had confidence. And that's what the confidence mystique is. You go into a negotiation and you don't act, you know, this kind of attitude where, oh, it's terrible, I don't know what I'm doing. You want to show that you're in charge, you know what you're doing, and people respect that and people will follow that. And you can change the outcome of a negotiation drastically simply by the way in which you stand and behave and the tone of your voice. This is all what I call the confidence mystique.
Amazing. And so I love that this ties into, this is a great segue to my next question. When you're thinking about confidence, you know, a lot of people, when someone asks something of them, they have a lot of trouble saying no, if that's something that they can't provide or don't want to provide. So they get stuck in this mindset of like, okay, I should probably say yes, or maybe there's some way I can accommodate this. Is that a result of a lack of confidence?
It can be. It certainly can be. There are also other reasons for it. There are sociological and psychological reasons. For example, you go to the supermarket to buy something and you're online. You have a carton of milk. Do you negotiate with the checker for the carton of milk?
I do, but that's very different than a lot of people. Actually, I'm so glad that you asked this question, because this is the one thing that I ask people to do to get over their fear of rejection, is ask for a discount at the grocery store.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Or a discount when you're on the highway and you have to pay a toll.
Right.
But the fact is that most people, 99.9% of people, I guarantee you, don't even think about it. And why would they think about it? Because they're having this negotiation, the one I was just talking about, inside their head, and they're saying to themselves, oh, they'll never say, they don't have the authority to give me a discount. They'll never do it. They'll laugh at me. The people in line behind me will get angry at me. All these reasons why you shouldn't say no.
Right.
And I have an antidote to that, too.
How do you do that?
I have a term that I call negotiation consciousness. And I created this about 25 years ago. I came up with this term. And it has two aspects. If you have high negotiation consciousness, it means that you are assertive, which means you're not afraid to ask for what you want, and you're not afraid to challenge anything or anybody. So you're assertive, and you challenge what people are telling you. Now, in overall, in existential terms, I believe that we're constantly being told how to behave, what to think, what to do, who to vote for, what clothes to wear, what kind of a spouse that we should pick, what sort of a profession we should have. From the time we're born, we're constantly being told what to think and how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, the difference between someone who calls himself a negotiator and everybody else, the difference is that the negotiator is not afraid to challenge all of these assumptions that are thrust upon him or her. So, with a possible exception of red light, you know, when you're driving and the light turns red, I don't suggest challenging that. But just about everything else, I mean, I'll give you a great example. I was, not too long ago, I was coming back from Europe. And I live in California, so my flight, I couldn't get a nonstop flight. I had a flight that, that stopped in Chicago. And my flight from, I think I was in Paris. My flight from Paris to Chicago was late, like an hour and a half late. And my connecting flight, according to the schedule, had already left. So I went to the airline desk and I said, you know, here's the situation. What do I do? So the guy behind the desk says, well, Mr. Brodo, I'm sorry, but, you know, that flight obviously has left. And that's the last flight to California for the evening. And you'll have to stay in a hotel and we can get you on the first flight in the morning. Now, what do you do? Most people would have said, okay, and got a hotel room. I didn't do that. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, are you sure that that flight, you know, has already left? Yeah, he says, I looked it up on the computer. So I said, do me a favor, look it up again. So he makes a face and he looks it up again. Sure enough, he says, oh, wait a minute. He says, it seems that that flight is late too. And it hasn't left. But he said, according to what I'm showing here, every seat on that plane is taken. There's not a seat available. So you'll have to stay over. So I said to myself, self, don't pay any attention to this idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. They have this train in Chicago where you go from terminal to terminal. I had to go to another terminal. I ran. I got on the train, went to the terminal, went to the gate where my flight was. And not only did I get a seat on the flight, I got a first class seat.
Amazing.
Now, if I had listened to what I was told by this paid representative of the airline, I would have had to wait till the next day. But fortunately, I'm insubordinate. I've always been insubordinate. You know? And I challenge everything. I challenge it. I challenge what people tell me. And that's what you've got to do to be an effective negotiator. You have to be willing to challenge all of this garbage that comes our way. So it's high negotiation consciousness is where it all begins. And as I said, that's what makes the difference between negotiators and everybody else.
Hey, folks, we're going to take a short break from this podcast to tell you all about the negotiation training that we offer at Negotiations Ninja. If you're part of a sales team, if you're part of a procurement team, if you're part of a customer service team, really, if you're part of any customer or internal facing organization where communication sometimes fails, we probably have training that's going to help you. If you're trying to figure out how to deal with conflict better, if you're trying to figure out how to get more value out of your negotiations, if you're trying to figure out how to deal with price increases, give me a call. The easiest way to be able to do that is to go straight to our website at negotiations.ninja. That's negotiations.ninja. Or reach out to me directly on LinkedIn and let's set up a conversation. Would love to chat with you all about that. Let's get back to the show. I love it. And when you're challenging that aspect, especially on that flight example, you had to try and gain more information to determine if the information that you were receiving was correct. And something that you talk about quite a bit in your stuff is the Columbo method to getting information. what is, for those of us who maybe, I mean, I'm dating myself here a little bit by maybe referencing good old Columbo, but for those of the people who don't know Columbo, maybe you could just walk us through what the Columbo method is.
All right. Columbo was a recurring series or a mini series or whatever, a series of TV movies. About a detective lieutenant called Columbo, played by Peter Falk, wonderful actor. And Columbo looked like he didn't know what the hell he was doing. He wore dirty clothes. He had this dirty old raincoat. He had a tiny little disgusting stump of a cigar. He drove some weird little car. Nobody took him seriously. And what he did was, He didn't try to impress people with how, you know, important he was. He would let the other person show him how important they were. And he would ask a question and then he would shut his mouth and listen. And he would always find the murderer. He was always after a murderer. The murderer would wind up confessing because Columbo gave them the room to show how smart they were. They always trying to show how smart they were. They would wind up convicting themselves. And that's why I relate this to negotiation, because I believe that the best way to negotiate is not to be the biggest talker or the most, the toughest guy in the room, but to be the one who listens to what the other person is saying,
yes,
who encourages the other person to talk a lot. Who takes a kind of almost a passive position, but it's not passive at all, you know, when you realize the results of it. But instead of, you know, we want to talk. It's people's nature to talk. I want to tell you things. I want to tell you my position. I want to tell you what's important in this negotiation. Well, don't. Instead, ask questions of the other person and get them to start telling you what their problems are and why they're there and why they feel they need to make the deal. That is the Colombo method.
And that way you just gain access to information that no one else has.
Well, it's all about, you know, power. Negotiation is all about information. It's all about, you know, so if I say to you, you know, what's your weakness in this negotiation? You're probably not going to tell me. So I have to find a way to get that information. Now, if I can't get it from you, I might get it from your secretary or a colleague or someone who knows you. Or I might get it from you by asking what I call open-ended questions.
And what is an open-ended question?
Open-ended question is a question that cannot be answered with a simple yes or no. So, for example, if I said to you, Mark, you have a lot of people on these podcasts. How am I doing? Do you think I'm doing a good job?
Sure, you're doing a good job.
All right, that's a closed-ended question. Because you can say, yeah, you're doing a good job, okay. So what have I learned? Nothing. But the open-ended question would be, Mark, how have my answers, how will my answers contribute to the learning process of the people who listen to your podcast?
Oh, I see. And so you're literally opening up the conversation.
Now you've got to think about my question. And you've got to say, well, wait a minute, you know, that's how will I have to, you have to think about what my answers were, how they might relate to the audience, what you expect, what you would like, you know, and it might take you a long time to do that. Hopefully it will take you a very long time, because the more I can get you to talk, and I do believe that people like, everybody likes to talk. So if I can encourage you to talk, number one, you're going to tell me what your problems are. You're going to tell me what your weaknesses are. You're going to tell me why you have to make the deal. And you're going to like me for doing it. Because we like people who listen to us.
Right.
And we like to do business with people who we like. So right. The whole thing makes sense any way you look at it.
Brilliant. You know, earlier on, you were talking about the need to challenge things as a trait of a successful negotiator. What are some other successful traits of negotiators?
Okay, well, I just told you when they listen.
Yes.
They listen to what other people have to say. And by the way, I'll tell you a little anecdote here. The first job I had when I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to work for a company called Dun & Bradstreet in sales. And they sent me to a very intense sales training course, which the essence of the course was they taught me product knowledge and how to make a good presentation. What I discovered when I went out in the field was that the people I was trying to sell to didn't give a damn about my product. They didn't give a damn about my presentation. They didn't give a damn about Dun & Bradstreet. They didn't give a damn about Ed Brodo. All they cared about was one thing, and that was solving whatever problem they were dealing with at the time.
Right.
So I discovered that if I wanted to sell to these people, I was going to have to zero in on what their problem was and get them to tell me what their problem was. So I eventually just chucked the whole presentation that they taught me, and I developed my own approach, which I just described to you, which I now call the Colombo method. But I could just as easily call it the Ed Brodo method or the keep your mouth shut method. It works. And I've been doing it all my life. And it's amazing how effective it can be.
Amazing.
Your question was, I'm digressing a little, but you said
No, not at all. I think your answer was great.
What other traits? Well, being willing to challenge everything, negotiation consciousness, being a good listener, taking your time. In our culture, we want to get things over with quickly. Negotiators, not like negotiators, take their time. Anybody who's negotiated in Japan or China or South America or the Middle East, they know that these people look at time differently than we do. We want to get it over with. They want to take their time because they know that when you rush things, you make mistakes. Mm. When you rush things, you don't have an opportunity to find out the facts about the other person, the other side in the negotiation. So you've got to be able to take your time and just, you know, be patient, be very, very patient. And, you know, they don't teach this stuff in business school.
They don't. You're right.
which is too bad, you know, but that's the way it goes. So, you know, be assertive, challenge everything, listen, take your time. Always when you give something away, get something in return. Mm-hmm. That's another thing people do. People think, oh, I'll give away things and that'll make the other side happy and they'll want to give me things. Well, it doesn't work that way. When you give something away, you always make it contingent upon getting something back from them.
Amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
Brilliant. And one thing that I want to make sure that we capture in this conversation is at the end, just to wrap up here, if you could give one piece of advice to the listeners today about one thing that you wish people would change about their negotiations, what would it be?
One thing that I wish people would change?
Yeah.
I think it would be willing to walk away from the negotiation. Most people, and again, I generalize, but I've done a lot of observation. Most people are locked in to the outcome. They feel that if they don't get, you know, if they don't close the negotiation, and they're going to suffer. So they wind up making concessions that they would not otherwise make. But you have to say to yourself, if I can't get the outcome that I want here, or at least an outcome that meets my basic needs, then I'm going to walk away and I'm going to do something else. So in other words, you have to have a plan B. If my negotiation with Ed Brodo doesn't work out, I'll have a negotiation with somebody else. I'll do something else. That, to me, is the most important thing. As I get older, I'm convinced more and more that that's the crux of what this baby is all about, is your willingness to walk away. Now, again, I say willingness. People think when I'm saying that I'm saying you should walk away. I'm not saying you should walk away. I'm saying you should have the willingness. It's that negotiation that you have in your head. You got to be able to say to yourself, I'm not dependent on this negotiation. And by the way, when you do that, no one can intimidate you. People talk about, oh, I get intimidated. No one can intimidate you as long as you say, if I can't get what I need, I'm going to take a walk. Impossible to intimidate someone who has that attitude. And the beauty of it is that when you maintain that attitude, the other side, they get it. You don't have to say it. They pick it up just like an animal can sense when another animal is afraid. You know, they can pick up either that you're afraid or that you have confidence. So, you know, having confidence means that I am so confident in my position. I am so committed to my position that if I can't get what I need, the hell with this. I'm just going to go do something else.
Yep. Exactly. It gives them a lot of power as well, to internal power, to be able to say, I'm willing to walk away.
It's all about internal power, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Well, Ed, listen, man, I have really enjoyed this conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you. How do people get a hold of your work and follow you online?
My website is my last name. Brodow, Brodow, www.brodow.com. They should read my book, Negotiation Bootcamp. It is a perennial bestseller. I sold 700 copies to the IRS.
Wow.
And I found out that the head of the IRS keeps my book next to his bed.
Amazing.
That's what they told me. I'm not making it up. That's what they told me.
Amazing.
It's a great book. It's a very easy to read book. And I really, I'm very direct, as you can tell. And I really get right to it. I believe that this, one of the things that I'm critical of is this whole Harvard mentality, you know, the Harvard approach to negotiation, Harvard approach to this. I read the Harvard book, and it's, you know, it's very conceptual and high flying concepts, and then I couldn't understand half of it, you know. I change it into real language, into plain language.
Love
so they, you know, when I talk about walking away, they have a term at Harvard for it. You have to have your, what the hell is it? I forget what it is. I don't even can't remember what it is. But I just say, you know, have alternatives. Be willing to walk away. I talk to people in plain English.
Yeah.
And I think there's a tremendous value in that. So I suggest to people to read Negotiation Bootcamp. I also suggest on my website, there is an article called 10 Tips for Successful Negotiating in 2019. And that article has been republished all over the internet. People love this article. It's a damn good article, and it gets right down to the core. 10 tips for how to be a successful negotiator. So I invite people to go to my website, brodo.com, and just go to the page on with the articles. And again, it's brodow.com.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. And for the listeners listening in right now, I will make sure to link out to Ed's website as well as his social profiles. Ed, thank you so much for being on, man. It was a great pleasure.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Hey, friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go on to iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.